The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. People tell me that since I'm the announcer, it's not about me, Todd Wilkerson. They say that my job is to serve the host of the show, Eric Metaxas.
What nonsense. I've known Eric for years, and you can take it from me. You just can't depend on him.
Mark my words, one day you'll blink and he'll be gone.
Off to fleece the next group of suckers.
But I'll always be here, no matter what, right here for you. Put your feet up and tell me all about it. Oh, yeah. And now your host,
if he's even still showing up,
Eric Metaxas.
What a vicious monster. The announcer of this program, Todd Wilkerson, I remember when we were friends, he kept his viciousness in check.
Yes.
But for some reason now, he's got a wife, he's got two kids, and he kind of acts like a big man.
I know.
And he attacks me on my own program.
And on the 4th of July.
Has he no decency?
He has none.
All right.
Okay.
It's today. Hey.
Yay.
Happy 4th, my friend.
Happy 4th to you, my friend. Yeah. This is great.
I got to tell you that this is like one of my absolute favorite holidays.
I know it is.
And so how shall we celebrate?
Well, maybe we could talk a little bit about the facts, but I know you also want to do your famous reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy.
Yeah, that's going to be in a couple of minutes. I'm going to be doing a dramatic reading. Oh, it's dramatic.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be dramatic. A dramatic reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy. It's the children's book I wrote with Tim Raglan. It's a very, very patriotic story. And you know what? If you don't shed a tear, I think the government should...
What?
Yeah. I don't know, impose a fine or something
like
that.
And it should be a red, white, and blue tier as well.
Yeah, if you don't shed a tear, preferably a red, white, and blue tear, I just want to say, what kind of an American are you?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
All right. No, but it's very patriotic, and I have actually shed a tear or two when I have read it, and so I'm going to read it in a couple of minutes. I hope that I can keep it together. Because I think it's important to love one's country. So
right.
In a couple of minutes. Oh, Alvin, I'm sorry. Yes. I need to explain what Muggsy is, because if I just leap into it, people won't understand. Okay, folks, in a couple of minutes, here's what we're talking about. Muggsy is a bulldog. He's kind of like a W.C. Fields character. He's like a heavy plutocrat from the 1930s. He's wealthy. He lives in a mansion on the Hudson. He's got a butler or whatever. He's kind of, he's just been married. Now, if you read the Christmas story, you know that he just got married. Anyway, the bottom line is his mother-in-law, it's like, you know, when you say Haman at the in the Esther story.
Oh, right. You're supposed to.
His mother-in-law. Yeah, very good. His mother-in-law is named Hortense, and she comes from England. Right.
Okay.
And she, it's Hortensia.
Oh.
She comes from England to visit, and she wants the little kids, the boy and girl, to do stuff with her on the 4th of July. And Muggsy's like, what? Is the 4th of July. We need to fire, we want to celebrate the 4th. We want to blow up firecrackers and stuff. And it gets crazy. There's kind of a clash of worldviews.
Okay.
Some people get hurt. What can I tell you?
Oh, boy.
It's survival of the fittest. But it's a great story.
I know.
Tim Raglan and I wrote it some years ago, and I'm going to do a dramatic reading of it in a few minutes.
Great.
Gather the kiddies around, folks.
Okay.
And after that, we're going to have more of my conversation with Michelle Kami about art. If you want to know what is art, why does modern art typically tend to stink real bad? Not always, but typically. Why is modern art not something that the general populace says, oh, that's beautiful? Why? If you're interested in those things, yesterday and then again today, we have a two-part conversation with Michelle commie. So that's after the Uncle Muggsy dramatic reading. And in hour two today, we have our friend Lee Habib. I won't tell you about it except to say that he's incredible.
He is.
He's incredible.
He's got some American stories. So it's great. It's for the 4th of July. We've got a great show lineup.
So let me say, before we go into the dramatic reading of Uncle Muggsy, and it is very patriotic, no kidding, I want to talk a little bit about the 4th, which is today.
It is.
I can't believe it's the 4th.
I know.
All right. Later on, I'll eat a hot dog, and it'll sink in.
Okay.
The hot dog and the idea.
Okay.
Okay. But, Alvin, what is your idea about how long ago is July 4th, 1776?
I know. I did some math on this.
You?
Okay? Yes, I did.
Math?
Yes, I did. America is a very young nation, and if you want to prove it to yourself, this is what you do. Take an 80-year-old man, find somebody who's 80 today, go back to the day he was born, okay? Then find another 80-year-old man and go back to the day when he was born. Then in that era, find someone who's like 82 years old and go back. You get to 1776. So only 3 80-year-old men roughly gets you back to 1776.
Would it be safe to say that 3 81-year-old men get you back to Lexington and Concord?
There you go. 1777.
Five.
Oh, 77. Wait a minute. Yeah. 1775. Sorry, I went ahead.
Okay, so
my math ain't so good
after
all.
So 3 81-year-old men.
That's right.
The only problem is, how do you find 3 81-year-old men?
Well,
you just go on the street and say, hey.
Hey, you. How old are you there?
He's like 74. Too young.
Okay.
But actually, that does. I mean, the reason I love this kind of stuff is because our country really is
very young.
Very young. Mm-hmm. And I actually think my grandmother, whom I knew so well, she's one of my favorite people, had a huge influence on my life. She was born in 1905. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid once, I asked her if she knew her grandfather. She knew her grandfather very, very well.
Wow.
And his name was August Krug. And I said, Grandma, when was he born? And he was born in the late 1830s. Mm-hmm. So I thought my grandmother...
Yeah.
Whom I knew, like I know you. I mean, she was like, you know, just one of the most influential people in my life. She knew somebody born in the 1830s.
Wow.
And I said, that's stunning. Our friend Alice von Hildebrand.
Yes.
Her father-in-law was born. This is not a joke, folks. Alice von Hildebrand, her father-in-law was born in 1847.
Gee.
I mean, he looks like heck. I've seen this guy. I've seen this guy. And let me tell you, he's not looking great.
Okay.
But he was born in 1847. So it doesn't take long to get back to 1776.
I know. It's just amazing.
Or in my book, if you can keep it, I talk about when Lincoln was inaugurated. He was here in New York and he met a man. This is right before his inauguration. So this is 1861. He met a man who was a drummer boy in the Revolution, an old man. Mm. So you think about the link. I mean, there on YouTube, there's a guy from when you were a kid in the 50s. And there was a guy who remembered being in Ford's Theater when Lincoln was shot.
Gee,
so
something.
It's not so long ago, and so we need to understand what we have is a recent phenomenon. It's fragile. We need to understand how it works, and you know, if you can find 3 81-year-old men, and I would say at least try.
No, stand
them back to back, and you will have a living visual mnemonic device.
Yes.
A visual mnemonic device of the age of this nation.
That's right. That's very good.
Now, if you can't find 3 81-year-old men, I apologize. I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
the math is the math. We're not making it up.
Find some 60-year-olds. Like, how many would we need?
You could find 60? You could find 4 60-year-old men. Good enough.
Call it a day. Yeah, that'll be easier. Okay. And George Washington, by the way, was 44 years old, which was the average age of the signers for the Declaration of the Independence. And he was 44. And King George, remember, I'm going to write this big enough. I think he was 38 years old, King George. Because you think of like King George, oh, he's old fuddy-duddy over there in England across the pond there.
You know something? You're exactly right.
I am.
Are you not?
Yeah, I am. It's, yeah.
King George, because let's not forget, he lived well into the 19th century. His son, the unpleasant George the Fourth, took over. He was regent, you know, Prince Regent. And so, yeah, you're right. So King George was a young man.
I know.
He was a king. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, all these people were kind of youngish, right? Ben Franklin, of course, I think was 80.
Well, he's the only. Yeah. He was the oldest one. Okay, right. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, Uncle Muggsy.
Yay!
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288.
And now, Yankee Doodle Muggsy. Read by me, the author, Eric Metaxas. And the book is by Eric Metaxas and Tim Raglin, and it's dedicated to the children of the American Revolution, past, present, and future. Oh, listen, my children, and you shall hear of the 4th of July and old Muggsy, dear. A greater patriot could ne'er be found, and hardly a man is now around who doesn't remember that famous day and cheer. On that hallowed day of our nation's birth, Muggsy, our hero, once more proved his worth as protector of Margaret, his beloved new wife, and Emily and Habakkuk in their happy new life. The morning began with a children's game. I was there as a witness, and the truth I proclaim, and just for the record, Peeves is my name. The stairs now he mounts. Hush, the children still sleep. Their door we approach, and inside now creep.
Yankee Doodle Muggsy, your Uncle Muggsy, do or die. You're my niece and nephew, I your uncle am, and today is the 4th of July. Today's a Yankee Doodle's daydream, a day when flags and rockets fly. Uncle Muggsy went to London caulking Georgia phony. I am that Muggsy Doodle guy.
Then down the hall of history, they marked our freedom's trail as Muggsy named the noble names George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Nathan Hale, and told how as one the framers answered liberty's sweet call by making their great declaration at Independence Hall. And he told how Betsy Ross in haste the stars and stripes unfurled, and how Lexington and Concord was the shot heard round the world. Then he told of the winter of the troops who camped at Valley Forge, and how their stoic sacrifice in Pennsylvania's snow and ice defeated old King George.
Yankee Doodle Dandies, let's make a joyful noise and sing. We're the star-spangled children of our Uncle Sam, and today make the freedom bell ring. Let's cut a Yankee Doodle caper. Salute our founding fatherhood. Let's recite some happy birthday poetry to the land of the free and the good.
But in the midst of their festive song, the downstairs doorbell chimed. And so they left off their fifing and drumming. The British, they giggled, are coming, they're coming. One if by lap, two if by knee, and I'll dust the banister, Muggsy cried, wee! And so down the handrail a-flying they came and made such a scene in the hall. At the bottom they discharged as though from a gun, with Muggsy a great cannonball. Poor Muggsy, in crashing, had smashed all to bits some luggage there piled all around. He'd assaulted the ramparts of civilized taste in a single opening bound. And then from that wreckage he looked up to see that English Medusa, that Gorgon, that ghoul. It was Margaret's mother. She had come unannounced. A one-woman finishing school. Egad! And there she glowered jowlishly, so prim and grimly proper. Her teaching the children to fall again was a cold conversation stopper. That's not it at all, groaned Muggsy. You see, I was teaching the twins of our history. I see what you're teaching them, Ambrose, she snipped. Muggsy winced at that name painfully. In England, she went on, when Victoria was queen, we'd have music, then riding, then tea. But great Aunt Hortensia, the children now piped, today is the 4th of July. The parade starts at 4, Muggsy said, and what's more, the colors of freedom will fly. What nonsense, she sniffed, and declared in summation, the 4th of July is merely a day for proper education. And true to her word, without thought for the day, she commenced her campaign in the British way. While the twins were put through their proper paces, their thoughts could be seen on their sad little faces. They'd missed the parade and the fireworks, too. Would their dear Uncle Muggsy somehow come through? Might he yet save them from this hopeless to-do? Who knew? And what could he do? As promised, first music, and Hortensia would sing. Habakkuk's new violin popped a string. The tick of the metronome crisply kept time as the two of them sawed on and on. What a crime! I'll free you, thought Muggsy. Just give me some time. Equestrian training was next on the list. Emily's pony jumped first and missed. They trotted and cantered and hobbled and hopped. Hortensia's enthusiasm never stopped. But most painful of all was the deep crimson hue of their traditional horsey attire. Red coats on the fourth, this is war! Muggsy cried with patriotic fire. And by far the worst insult to that sacred day meant to honor the brave and the free was that starting at four with Hortensia's friends, they would suffer an English high tea. By Gadfrey, said Muggsy, I'll save them, I will, with some red, white, and blue rocketry. I'll remind them of all of our battles of yore. I'll show them once more who it was won that war on this day of our great liberty. And soon he'd return with a wheelbarrow full of crackers and candles and bombs. A true Bunker Hill of explosives it was, a gunpowder mountain of arms. He arranged them like minutemen ready to fight. He stood them behind rocks and trees. There were serpents and spinners and sparklers and snaps. There were mortars and missiles and whistles and caps. It would bring the redcoats to their knees. Whiz, bang, crack, boom. The battle at last had begun. The chit-chat now ended. The sipping now ceased. The ladies were blasted clean out of their seats. And the twins were at last having fun. I say, I can't see, old Hortensia declared, amidst the bombs bursting bright and the rockets' red glare. We are routed, dear ladies. Abandon the field. Lady Daphne fainted. Virginia reeled. Across the land, the Liberty Bell pealed. The battle was won. The day was now done. I had hoped we might cease and desist, but it wasn't to be, for now giddy with glee, true to form, Muggsy couldn't resist. For there yet was one rocket of red, white, and blue. They called it Big Martha for Washington's bride. The match now he struck, the fuse now he lit, but the missile took off with dear Muggsy astride. How high o'er the treetops like Lindbergh he flew. The world grew more distant as farther he zoomed. And Margaret, Hortensia, the children, and I all knew in our hearts that poor Muggsy was doomed. Shades of Icarus, barked Muggsy, a turn for the hearse. Victory wasn't supposed to be this hard. It puts me in mind of that line from the bard. I've been hoist by my own petard. Drat. But fortune besmiled upon Muggsy that day. The bomb, though it flew, was a miserable dud. It fell and it fell through the clouds to the ground, then fizzled and crashed in some mud. And when the smoke cleared, how Muggsy rejoiced. His life had been spared and the day was yet young. And to top it all off, he'd been given a mule. And now to his mane Muggsy clung. Onward, Bucephalus, onward, he cried. We'll catch that parade by the tail if we must. The Republic depends on us, so do the twins. Hi-ho, Yankee Doodle, or bust. Now swiftly he galloped and spread the good cheer to every village and farm far and near. Awaken, ye citizens, hearken and hear. America's birthday is here, America's birthday is here. At the parade, all solemn and grave, sat Margaret the twins and Hortensia too. They'd come out to see, but for sadness saw not. It was what Muggsy would have wanted to do. But lo, in the distance came a cry and a hue. 'Twas a mule hasting toward us in red, white, and blue. And atop that old mule, flying fearless and fleet, atop that swift steed racing down our main street, sat a fanciful fop, quite familiar somehow. And happy birthday, America, was writ upon his brow. Then the mule, he stopped short, and the rider was thrown. Muggsy landed and made his identity known. He lay battered and blackened with many a wound. A ghost! Cried Hortensia, and swooned. You've come back, they all shouted. Hurrah, you're alive! Of course, Muggsy laughed. I'm just sore from the ride. Then each twin took an arm and helped him to stand. He lifted Old Glory and gave the command. Let's join the parade, Muggsy cried. Fall in line. The fife pierced the air and the drum marked the time, and the air and the afternoon swelled with their song. It rose to the heavens till marching along was another parade filled with heroes of yore. We've seen some of them in our story before, but others we haven't, whose song now we sing, and to them humbly make this our small offering. Yankee Doodle to all, and to all a good night.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs, and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com. BestHotGrill.com.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I get to continue my conversation with Michelle Marder Kami. It's K-A-M-H-I. Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you.
I love to, are you thanking me for having you back or for spelling your name?
Oh, both.
Both, very important.
Both very
important. I want people
important,
to find you on the web. You have a website, aristos.org, A-R-I-S-T-O-S, aristos.org. And the book we've been talking about is Who Says That's Art? A Common Sense View of the Visual Arts. Who Says That's Art? We were talking at the end of the last hour about this idea of, you hear this all the time, it's been done. Mm-hmm. People think that somehow it's almost as if they have, without thinking, bought into an idea of evolution, mm-hmm. which says that to do what the ancients did, to do what the Renaissance masters did, is unworthy of us. Mm-hmm. We somehow have to move forward. But they don't say to what or toward mm-hmm. what. Anything new seems to be better. If something's yes. been done, they have to do something new. Doesn't that, I mean, I'm trying to get to the roots of this. I respond to my theory here. My theory is that if it's all about me, if it's not about something objective, good, true, beautiful, God, the creation of God, if it's not about that, it's about me as the artist, and it's about me being better than whom I follow. Mm. So I have to somehow
reject.
Top. I have to top whoever has gone before.
Reject it completely and do something totally different.
You can stand on the shoulders of giants. In other words, you can say that, well, I'm doing this and it's Picasso did this and so-and-so did this and so-and-so, and now I'm doing this new thing. But you have to find something new. And so the question is, why?
I put the question to the director of the Museum of Modern Art, Glenn Lowery, at a press preview of so-called sound art.
Sound art?
Sound art. In a museum that was devoted to visual art, and we now have sound art. We won't get into the nut.
Yeah, please don't. I'll throw you off the program if you even discuss it.
He himself said that what the artists were doing was often more like science than art. It was almost scientific. They were recording the sounds of creatures that were beyond our normal hearing range or something. And I said, he said, because it's our duty to follow artists wherever they're going. And I said at the press preview, does it ever occur to you that where artists are going is no longer art? And he said, we can't ask that question anymore because of Marcel Duchamp.
Okay, let's educate my viewers in case they're not familiar. 100 years ago, go ahead.
Marcel Duchamp was a French avant-gardist who, as a practical joke, it seems from his biographers, submitted an ordinary urinal from a plumbing factory.
A porcelain urinal. He gave it to what was the
he submitted it to an exhibition, and I misspoke when I was here last time. I referred to it as a juried exhibition. It was an unjuried exhibition that he was part of the hanging show, and he did it as a provocateurish gesture to submit this thing, which obviously wasn't art, to see if they would accept it or not.
But this was a famous, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
It wasn't the Armory Show. It was an exhibition of independent, I've forgotten the name now, but it was a group of artists who were doing their own independent thing, and it was not the Armory Show per se. And his fellow people, he was an insider of the organization, but some of the other artists there, some of whom were genuine artists, smelled of rotten fish and kind of sensed it was not legitimate, and they rejected it, whereupon he and his pal Arensberg wrote a piece about it in an ephemeral little publication they had, which was interestingly called The Blind Man. And all of this was a kind of humorous little incident in 1917, which would have had absolutely no impact until the 1960s, when so-called artists began using found objects and doing their anti-art gestures.
Well, but who had the bicycle wheel?
That was also Duchamp.
Okay.
And I'm glad you mentioned the bicycle wheel, because the Chicago Institute of Art, one of our premier museums of art, just a few months ago bought a bicycle wheel that wasn't even Duchamp's original. It wasn't the bicycle wheel. It was another ready-made by him. It was the bottle rack. This is one of his
who could forget the famous bottle rack of Duchamp?
Bought one that he had gotten and signed for another avant-gardist, Robert Rauschenberg. And
I'm so glad you brought up Rauschenberg, because I forgot how much I hate Rauschenberg. Go ahead.
And the Chicago Institute of Art now paid something like $12 million for this bottle rack.
Okay, I could have sold them my bottle rack for like a fraction of that.
They
okay,
could have
folks.
Gone to a hardware store and bought one.
We're going to be right back with Michelle Martyr-Commey. The book is Who Says That's Art? We'll be right back.
I'd like to know, 'cause here I go.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Okay, ReliefFactor.com is the website. I'm getting these testimonials, and I take it, but I'm not going to talk about me. I'm going to talk about Jenny from Texas. She says, I've been taking Relief Factor for 4 weeks. I was hit by a car while walking almost a year ago, and I got to the place where nothing I tried for pain relief was working. My husband had heard of your product. We decided to give it a try. This past week, I've started noticing a decrease in the pain in my lower back and an increased range of motion. I'm pretty sure Relief Factor has had something to do with it, and I'm grateful. Relief Factor has helped when everything else I tried quit working. It's a beautiful addition to my natural therapies. I got to say, Relief Factor is... it's not toxic. You can take it as much as you want. 3 weeks, because this woman says she's been taking it for 4 weeks. 3 weeks is the magic number.
Yeah.
You'll know if it works in 3 weeks because it's, you know, different pain pathways and whatever. Go to ReliefFactor.com, get the quick start pack for $19.95, and you'll know. There's plenty there to tell you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
If you can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Your cell phone's connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your laptop. Your laptop's connected to your Wi-Fi. 1 week link and thieves are in.
The digital world is so connected these days, it just takes 1 week link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats of today's connected world.
Your desktop's connected to your smart TV. Your smart TV's connected to your smartwatch.
Threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web. And online threats to your devices, like ransomware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices. And if there's a problem, our agents will work to fix it.
Your smartwatch is connected to your video doorbell. Your video doorbell's connected to your smart lock.
Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
The Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about art, art, art with Michelle Marder Kami. Her book is Who Says That's Art? Great book, important subject. The website, aristos.org. And of course, Michelle, your name, MMKAMHI. That's MMKAMHI.com. Okay, so you're saying that the Chicago Museum paid $12 million.
Or it might have been more.
For a piece of junk signed by Marcel Duchamp for Rauschenberg.
For Rauschenberg. It wasn't even his original ready-made. It was the people like Rauschenberg in the 60s who made so much of Duchamp that he became the person who redefined what art could be, which right. meant it could be nothing. And the insult, the ultimate insult to the public is the Art Institute of Chicago is now raising its admission fees, which they wouldn't have to do if they didn't waste huge sums of money like this on garbage. And the public should be, they should be boycotting, they should be demonstrating against nonsense like this. And the final nail in the coffin is the reporter for one of the Chicago newspapers who refers to the piece as Duchamp's masterpiece.
You're kidding.
No.
No, you're kidding.
No, yes.
He doesn't put masterpiece in quotes?
No.
Maybe everything he writes is ironic and we should assume the quotation marks.
No, it was his so the journalists have completely caved in to all of the nonsense. They have absolutely no standards in reporting on these things. In every other field, there's some kind of objective thinking about what's going on. But this
imagine in sports saying that you know, that ball I hit that looked to you like a grounder, I say it's
it was
a home run.
Yeah.
It's a home run because who are you to say? I mean, I think that's why people love sports and people pay so much money for sports because there's an objectivity.
Yeah,
we can
absolutely.
All scream about, you know, we're screaming about the same things. Was that was he safe or was he out?
Right.
We're looking toward an objective standard, even if we don't make it. When you're dealing with art, I mean, look, why do people go to museums typically? It's to look at old art. Or to look at new art because somebody told you you ought to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Where do we go from here?
Well, I put a lot of the onus on journalists because they're the middlemen. They're among the middlemen.
Oh, yeah. They've gone along with the lunacy.
And even prominent ones like the late Charlie Rose was completely suckered into treating this stuff with seriousness.
I mean, but look, Charlie Rose is, to me, he is the very ultimate example. He's the quintessence of what we're talking about. Mm. Cultural elites who buy into these things to look sophisticated because you're told you must.
Yes.
And they're afraid to think. They're afraid because if you think independently, you might say something that some important person disagrees with.
Yes. And Tom Wolfe nailed this in The Painted Word. I mean,
he's the hero. We want to say to people, get a copy of The Painted Word after you buy Who Says That's Art.
Yes, because my book first.
Your book first, his book second. But on it, he doesn't need the royalties. He just passed away. Let's face it. But the fact is that people need to get educated on this. This is why I want to have you on this program. I want people to understand they're not crazy.
And to give the book to art teachers and people in your local school district, this is the population that I most wanted to reach with this book. There is a chapter on art education, and the book has been favorably reviewed by a number of prominent art educators, I'm happy to say. So when you give the book to someone in the field, go to my website and print out some of the pages of the reviews. There are review excerpts and what people are saying excerpts and give those with the book.
So say to the people, if you have a problem with this, if you disagree with these wonderful people.
Yes.
Now, by the way, Kirkus Reviews said that this book, Who Says That's Art, is forceful and persuasive, impressive, accessible. That is high praise. It's wonderful when something like Kirkus Reviews, they get it. You know, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrific. Look, your articles have appeared in the Wall Street Journal. You're all over the place. You've written a number of books. Let me ask you, where were you educated? I think we covered this a few months ago when you were here the last time. Where did you grow up and go to school?
In New York. I actually grew up in a small town, moved to New York when I was in seventh grade. As a child, I was in a three-four-room schoolhouse. So I had a very, very different experience from the urban, sophisticated New York experience. I was lucky enough, year after we moved to New York, to apply for Hunter College High School and be admitted, which was the beginning of my education. It was a fabulous, in those days, it was an all-girl institution, and it was an amazing education. And I then went on from there to Barnard, and I did a Fulbright to Paris, interestingly, not to study art. I had majored in geology.
Geology? You went to Paris?
And I went to Paris.
What were you thinking?
Well, there was a famous evolutionary scientist who was at the University of Paris, the Sorbonne, and I was interested in evolution. And the beauty of it was that I got to see the prehistoric caves at Lascaux.
You're kidding.
When they were still open, when it was still open to the public. So,
my gosh. I have to say, on Twitter I follow something, the Ice Age or something like that, and often they post a lot of these ancient cave paintings from literally 30,000 years ago.
Yes.
And of course, that's in the primitive age of mankind when we still believed in representational art, right? But it's so beautiful. It's so moving.
Powerful.
That people many thousands of years ago could have done this. It's kind of a miracle, really.
One of the works that I end my book with, and there's a chapter on the pleasures and rewards of real art, and one of the works I discuss is a marvelous prehistoric painting that I had the chance to see on a more recent trip to France, which was quite extraordinary. So,
Okay, then it's in this book.
Yes.
Who Says That's Art? The book is called Who Says That's Art? A Common Sense View of the Visual Arts by Michelle Martyr Kami. Kirkus Reviews has praised it. I'm praising it. What's not to like? We'll be right back.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code RADIO20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code RADIO20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code RADIO20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here with the author of many books, Michelle Martyr Kami.
Only two.
Only two?
co-authored
I assume that there were others.
Yeah, lots of articles.
Okay, Who Says That's Art is the one we've been talking about. You have another book called What Art Is, The Aesthetic Theory of Ayn Rand. And in this one, you talk about, Rand's theory and debunking the work of prominent modernists and postmodernists from Mondrian, Jackson Pollock, mm-hmm. Samuel Beckett, John Cage, Merce Cunningham. I think I told you this last time. I once went with a friend to Wesleyan University to hear John Cage give a concert. And even then, in my early 20s, when I was really, really educated along the stupid lines of the cultural elites of our day, even then I thought, this is beyond stupid. This is the stupidest thing I have ever seen. It was the height of pretentiousness. Mm. Isn't that what this is? It's pretentiousness.
Yes.
It's sneering at the common men and women of the world.
Well, you know, a little known fact about John Cage is he began doing his wacky stuff after he'd failed as a real composer.
Shocking. And did you know that Hitler began doing his fascist stuff after he'd failed as a painter? Coincidence?
Yeah.
Coincidence,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen? Well, when we're talking about John Cage, wasn't he in a homosexual union with Merce Cunningham?
He was.
Merce Cunningham.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you find people, I mean, Merce Cunningham's work in his field, John Cage's work in it, it is all about these ideas. It's not really about the art. It's about kind of saying, look at me and what do you think of my ideas, or isn't my idea clever? Isn't that what it really kind of boils down to, the novelty of I got a new clever idea, I'm going to – I mean
– Well, Cage claimed to be – and he was kind of a follower of Zen Buddhism, but – So I think he was trying to create so-called art that was engaging with the world in some way, but not in the way. One of the things that I quote, that we quote in What Art is what some of the early Zen people wrote about the Zen approach to art,
right,
which was work that we would consider art. So Cage was in a very confused way trying to apply a Zen Buddhism to...
I actually think that it gets to what we talked about in the last hour together. Representational art points toward objective standards, and it points to this real world. Even Plato, when he's talking about the forms, you know, there's a continuum between the materialistic world and the forms. Mm-hmm. There's some kind of a... It seems to me that the biblical view, the Jewish view, the Christian view, always says that the material world was created by God. It is good. And if it went wrong in the fall, God redeems it and makes it good again. The people who are Gnostics or the people in the world of Eastern religion seem perpetually to want to escape this world. Mm. And I would say bastardized views of Christianity want to do the same thing. Mm. We're out of time. I'm talking. My apologies. Michelle Kami, thank you so much. Thank you for the gift of this book, Who Says That's Art? This is a wonderful, wonderful gift to the world. Who Says That's Art? Folks, thanks for listening. Michelle, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for getting the word out, Eric. It's a pleasure to talk with
you. It's my joy and honor.
Yeah.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.